Welcome to Pet World Insider, where we bring you inside the world of pets, pet products, pet places, pet people, and amazing pet stories. Hey everybody, welcome to today's show. I am so excited. We have a phenomenal guest. This is really what the show is all about. Today we've got our just wonderful person, Dr. Patrick Mahaney, who is vet extraordinaire and frankly someone who's really doing a lot for the pet world, really involved, really getting information out there, very passionate, very knowledgeable. Dr. Patrick, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Now, tell us the name of your practice.
My practice is something that I feel is very unique to me, and so I wanted to create something that is actually a hybrid of the services that I provide. So it's in the location where I live, of course. It's called California Pet Acupuncture and Wellness, or also known as CPAW, if you want to kind of go the an acronym route.
I like that, CPAW.
So I live in California, and hopefully I always will live here, but if I were to, say, need to take this to New York or something, certainly, like, California has a lot of appeal and attraction, and we think a little differently here than most other people, so we're focused on looking at disease a little differently. My treatments that I offer a little different in terms of acupuncture and kind of a holistic overall hub of pets wellness routine. So California Pet Acupuncture and Wellness just kind of fits.
I think it's a great name. And more importantly, I think what you're doing is great. You know, you recently wrote this phenomenal set of articles that really just jumped out at me. We all like to ignore what might be going on because we want to believe in our hearts that our pets are, you know, they're just going to always be healthy. And for some reason, we also believe they'll tell us, you know, hey, I'm not feeling well. Can we go get checked out? So I thought that the 10 points that you had were great. We don't have to cover all of them, but let's cover a couple of the big ones that you think every pet owner should know and that every vet wishes that pet owner knew.
Absolutely, and thank you for mentioning it's a two-part article, parts 1 through 5 and 5 through 10 on PetMD as part of The Daily Vet, which is a site that I contribute to every week, and it's got a really good audience.
Phenomenal site.
A lot of ongoing dialogue with my readers, which is always a pleasure, usually at least. Number one is making sure that pet ownership is appropriate for you. Are you responsible enough? Are you financially stable enough? Is your job secure? If you don't have the ability to care for a pet like you would a child throughout their life, from puppyhood or kittenhood until their geriatric years, then really having a pet is probably not the best idea for you, because you really need to treat them like you would treat yourself in terms of maintaining your health and your fitness in order to make sure that they are healthy throughout their lives. So sometimes, like, impulse buys for pets are never a good idea, or impulse adoption. So really planning and making sure it's appropriate for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, you had a couple of good health ones as well.
Absolutely, yeah. So number two, trying to make sure that we do not let our animals get overweight. There's a huge obesity problem in this country with people. It's trickling down into pets. People feel as though they just put the food down and the pet eats it, and usually that's the case, and they end up eating too much and developing obesity and also obesity-related health conditions, some of which are irreversible. If you're constantly carrying around too much weight on your body, it's going to be unhealthy for your spine, for your joints, and some of the damage that occurs as a result of carrying that weight is not going to go away no matter what you do from a medication or a supplement standpoint. So prevent obesity from happening in the first place by restricting calories, really feeding according to recommended guidelines, and then maybe even a little bit less, and making it a priority every day to participate in some kind of activity with your dog or your cat. I mean, take your dog for a walk, doing a little bit of a more vigorous hike, getting that laser toy out with your cat or that feather toy so that they're moving around and having to play instead of just laying there, possibly getting an additional cat so that
right.
The cats can keep each other company and be active. Those are all little techniques you can do.
Absolutely. You know, and I like that you talk about the prevention, because most of these situations are preventable.
Absolutely.
You know, and the food, let's talk about the food, because I know that you're someone that doesn't shy away from the reality of, you know, the pet food industry.
Yeah, I don't mind speaking my opinion about this, because it's a practice that I apply to my own self and to my personal pet. And fortunately, the clients that I cater to are very focused on having their pets eat the best, and they understand that dry food and canned food isn't food like nature intended it to be. It's heavily processed. It's dry food is twice cooked and then sprayed with rendered fat in order to make it palatable. When you look at the ingredients in canned food, very often there's things like wheat gluten or carrageenan or other substances that kind of act as stabilizers to keep it consistent at room temperature. All stuff that nature doesn't actually create.
Yes.
unfortunately for us, we are very focused on convenience and having things be easy. So we're kind of fooled by the advertising that most of these pet companies do in thinking that the food we're feeding has all these healthful ingredients in it, when really they're ingredients that have been heavily, heavily modified from how nature created them, unless you're feeding more of a whole food-based, commercially available diet, which do exist out there. There's some that are available in stores and others that are available to ship to your home.
Yeah, you're actually seeing an increase in those popping up, and I think
oh, my God,
great.
Yes, absolutely. I have a business relationship with Lucky Dog Cuisine, which is a South Carolina-based cooked, frozen food that's shipped right to your home. You just defrost and serve. You can and should eat it yourself. Like, take a taste.
Right.
If you're not willing to taste your pet's food, if you're not willing to eat it yourself, then why are you feeding it to your pet in the first place?
I try and steer away from things that I wouldn't eat as well. Yeah, that can be a pitfall as well, though. You know, there's a lot of people who just, you know, will turn to their dogs especially and say, well, I didn't finish this, so hey, you finish that. And the dogs are only too happy to do that, and that's not good either.
It depends on where the perspective of good comes from, because if we're eating healthy meats, vegetables, whole grains ourselves, and we choose to share some of that with our pet, it's going to provide them some nutrition in a natural form as compared to, say, a processed ingredient or a synthetic vitamin that ends up in most commercially available dry or canned foods. And if you're going to share your food like that with your pet, maybe reduce the portion of their pet food by about a third, maybe about 33% each feeding, and then you can give them some of your food. Like the meats and vegetables and whole grains we eat actually are quite beneficial for our pets' bodies, but we just want to make sure we don't provide too many calories.
Right. Yeah, the same is true for humans as it is for animals. Everything in moderation.
Absolutely.
You know,
there are some foods that we don't want to feed our pets that are known to be toxic, like chocolate dogs, grapes and raisins,
yep,
large volumes of onions or things like that. We want to avoid those.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. Any others from your list of 10 that you'd like to share with our listeners here as important, you know, get your mind wrapped around it?
Well, I think really taking the time every day to focus on making sure that our pets' mouths stay as healthy as possible. The number one and two diseases that I see in animals are obesity and periodontal disease. You pull back that lip margin and you look in the mouth, and you might see brown stuff on the teeth, which is tartar or calculus. You smell their breath, and it almost knocks you over. That's disease right there that needs to be treated. And so it's really important to every day use a cleansing wipe or brush the teeth to try to reduce the mouth bacterial population so that the teeth will stay healthier. And if your pet doesn't tolerate that well, or they have more advanced disease, then creating a concrete plan with your veterinarian to get that issue resolved. And anesthesia dentals are extremely successful. You have to make sure the pet is healthy enough to go under anesthesia. There's never a too old to undergo anesthesia, but there definitely is a too unhealthy. So taking it step by step and working with your veterinarian to make sure the anesthesia is most highly tolerated, because if you leave those unhealthy teeth in the mouth, or you have a lot of bacteria in the mouth, it's going to get into the blood and affect other organs negatively, the heart, the kidneys, the liver. There's a lot of growing evidence that shows the negative effects of mouth bacteria on the rest of the body.
Absolutely. Well, and again, it just, you know, it comes back almost down to common sense. if you're experiencing that in your human sense, it affects you in those same ways.
Mm-hmm.
So if you wouldn't do it to yourself, by all means, you should not be doing it to your pets.
Right.
Where do you come down on teeth cleaning and dentistry? What are your preferred methods?
Well, the most thorough job is done under anesthesia because you can scale under the gum line. It's called subgingival scaling. You can also take x-rays to make sure that the teeth are still firmly attached to the underlying bone, and you can extract teeth if needed. Anesthesia-free dentals, even though they do help, they really just remove what's at the surface. But if there was, say, an absolute where an owner did not want to put their pet under anesthesia but was willing to pursue an anesthesia-free dental, that's still better than not doing anything. But certainly we have to think, like, when you're doing that anesthesia-free dental, you're liberating a lot of bacteria. It could be inhaled or swallowed, which could be bad for the respiratory tract or the digestive tract. It does the restraint puts a lot of stress on the animal's body. I've seen problems with dogs that have issues with their breathing, like pugs or bulldogs not really tolerate those cleanings quite as well. So there's positive and negatives with each scenario, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, talk with your vet. Your vet knows your pet, hopefully, and will obviously, you know, be doing what they can to fit your pet. So let's talk a little bit about some of the adventures you've been on. Are just amazing. They're kind of mind-boggling if you really think about it. You know, and if you haven't, you know, and maybe now's a good time to give out your web. Let's give out your website address.
Sure. Everybody can connect to me through my website, which is my first and last name together.com, patrickmahaney.com. And through that, you can email me. You connect to me through Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, YouTube. It's all right there. You can read my blog, which ends up there, see some videos that I do. And actually on the site in my press and media, I have a great video that is of the big adventure that I took last year, which is my first international veterinary philanthropic trip with Amazon Cares.
Yes.
It was amazing. It was a very, very much a life-changing experience. I've wanted to do something like that for a long time. At Blog Pause 2 years ago, I met Molly Mednikow, who's the president of Amazon Cares, and she suggested I go. Did some research, did some fundraising, went on the trip, and just every experience I had was incredible. And I wrote a blog every day about my experience. You can actually, if the listeners want to read them, on my blog on my website, there's a Vets Abroad category, and they're all put in there. And I shot a lot of video as well, which is on my media and press page on my website. The YouTube video as well, so it kind of shows all the experiences from traveling on the Amazon River to popping botfly larvae out of the skin of an animal's eye. Showing what it's like to release a street dog after you've done a spay or neuter. We capture them, treat them, and then release them back where they were living before. Get to see some cute little creatures that I interacted with, like a sloth. I actually got attacked by a parrot there too, and that's on video. So it was a lot of fun. And actually now I've been approached by some production companies to make a reality-based TV show about doing trips like this. So that's kind of in the works right now as well.
Excellent. Well, it definitely would be entertaining. I mean, I've got to say, I enjoyed all the different videos. Some of them, you know, a little squeamish part here or there, but, you know, I mean, just really interesting. And kudos to you and the rest of the group, and especially the organization, for doing that. I mean, it's so important, and there's just, unfortunately, not enough of those type of efforts available out there.
And certainly Amazon Cares, and if your listeners are interested, it's amazoncares.org. They do 4 trips a year with vets and technicians, and you work with a team there on site in Peru in a jungle city called Iquitos, and you go up and down the Amazon River and go to remote villages where they don't even have electricity half the time. So it really makes you appreciate what you have here, and when you go see the extremes of disease that are affecting these animals, like dogs that look like they're elephants because they're so ravaged by mange and bacterial infections. It's really remarkable to see kind of the diseases that these animals face there, and really makes you appreciative of what we have here.
Yeah, so true. So true. Now, I mean, you are just full of unique situations and things that you do. You also do acupuncture for animals. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I've always kind of followed a little. In my own life, I try to keep my own back pain and joint problems managed by reducing my reliance on medications that have side effects, like an anti-inflammatory or a narcotic type pain reliever or a muscle relaxer. So I pursued acupuncture as a means of pain management and stress relief, and I felt as though that would be very beneficial to offer to my patients. So I went through veterinary acupuncture training from the International Veterinary Acupuncture Society in 2006 and became a certified veterinary acupuncturist, and then really recognized that for my patients, I want to make sure that they're not constantly needing an anti-inflammatory or another drug to keep them comfortable. Let's make their bodies healthier from the inside out. And that's where acupuncture comes in, to relax muscles, to reduce pain, to get blood flowing, to help with nausea with animals that have cancer and are getting chemotherapy. It's been a really valuable tool in my practice, and really I use it for almost all of my patients. So it's been great, and I even am now doing some laser acupuncture treatments, which have been very beneficial for a lot of my patients.
Yeah, and to kind of, you know, dovetail on that, I know one of the things that you've spoken out about is, you know, that reliance on medication. You know, again, it's that same story. Medications, whether they're for humans or animals, have side effects.
Absolutely. You know, so you say you have an older dog or older cat that has pain. You go to the vet, you get a diagnosis through physical exam and x-rays of arthritis. And so very often a medication like an anti-inflammatory is used. Those anti-inflammatories, if you're using them day after day, month after month, year after year, or if there's any other underlying problems like a digestive tract problem, then you can create some really serious health issues just as a result of taking this medication, which is trying to make the animal more comfortable. So it's really a lot better to promote weight loss or weight management, to modify the environment to make sure that the pet isn't hurting themselves, to modify their activity to make sure they're not like jumping around on a injured limb, and then promoting the health of the joint from the inside out by using an oral joint supplement, which I call chondroprotectants, and also fish oil, which is a natural anti-inflammatory, and other types of natural anti-inflammatories as well. There's a lot of products that can be safely taken that may not have that same immediate potent effect to reduce pain or inflammation, but over long term, they will help to keep inflammation at bay and really improve comfort.
And, you know, one other area, too, that I definitely want to touch on with you, because I think you've addressed it, you know, pretty head on, and that is vaccinations. And, you know, I think I read, if I remember the blog right, I remember you talking about vaccinate individually, and I love that idea and that concept.
Absolutely. I mean, so when puppies or kittens are developing and they're forming their immune health, we want to make sure that they're not going to be, we're going to minimally expose them to the things that they could get sick from. So that means really being cautious with dog parks and daycare and things like that. But we want to vaccinate them for the things that are fatal, like rabies and distemper and parvo and dogs and panleukopenia and cats. But giving a lot of vaccinations at once, and when I mean a lot, I mean more than one, really doesn't help their immune system. It doesn't make a dog or cat healthier by going to the vet and getting vaccinated with more than one vaccine at a time. Because if there is any kind of adverse response, from pain at the injection site to hives to more of a severe anaphylaxis like vomiting or diarrhea, then you don't know what the cause is. It could be one, it could be other, could be both. And also, we have to think about like never vaccinating an animal that's sick. Vaccines don't make you healthier. They just let you fight off specific diseases. And unfortunately, with the type of practice I have, I end up getting referral recommendations and things like that. And I look at how some of these patients have been vaccinated, and it'll be months to years where they've had bad teeth and have been overweight and have other conditions, yet they're going, and those conditions aren't getting resolved, yet they're going in and getting vaccinated every year, every 3 years, for something that they really may not even need the vaccine for. And that's why we have to think about, instead of vaccinating, doing blood testing after we've been already giving a vaccination, to determine what the pet's immunity is, because if they already have adequate immunity, why give them the vaccine, which could potentially create a health problem? And
absolutely.
Just body titers.
Well, and I mean, you know, and I don't want to, you know, cast aspersions out there, but it just seems that, you know, that's common sense, yet that's not the common practice.
You're absolutely right, and part of it is vaccinations. I hate to speak against my industry in this way, but vaccinations are a means of getting people in the door so that they have their appointment so that veterinarians can make money. So the owner gets a card in the mail saying their pet's vaccine is due. That makes them concerned because they, of course, don't want their pet to get sick. They go in. Yeah. They have a physical exam. They get their vaccination. There might be some recommendations for other treatments to be done, and those treatments either done or not. So it's a means of getting clients into the door.
Yeah.
Yet, like with my own dog, who suffers from a immune system disease where his body destroys his red blood cells, I don't vaccinate him anymore. I do antibody titers on a yearly basis to determine what his immune system's response is to those vaccinations. And the last time I vaccinated him was over 5 years ago. And his levels have always been perfectly fine when I do his tests.
And if you go to Dr. Patrick's website, you will see some great videos, a lot of wonderful pictures with Cardiff.
Yeah.
And it's just adorable, just adorable. So that's a great sharing, and I'm still, you know, disappointed that it's not more of a common practice. But you know, again, that's why we do the show. That's why we take you inside so that you can get those inside tidbits to talk with the experts about. So make sure you talk to your vet about that.
Absolutely. And I'm not anti-vaccine.
Absolutely not.
Judicious use of vaccines and making sure that it's absolutely necessary. And making sure the pet's healthy enough for it.
Yeah, absolutely. And much like, you know, I've got two young kids, and I discuss everything in depth with them before we, you know, do the vaccinations. Again, that correlation between human and our pets, you know, we've got the same concerns whether we're humans or for our pets. So definitely need to be asking about that. Now, a couple of things. You do actually have a very unique practice. It is not in the traditional sense. You know, here's where I'm located, and you're going to show up, you're going to fill out the chart, and someone will be with you in a moment. Talk about that for us.
It's been a really, I mean, I've done a variety of clinical practice in my almost 13 years at this point, where I've done general practice and emergency, and those were really interesting, but I felt as though I wanted to do something that was very kind of clear to me, and I feel like I really understand pain management well, and understand health and nutrition for myself, and so I've done further education to be able to apply that to my veterinary patients. But also, I've always wanted to have my own business. I don't really want to have a facility because I don't necessarily want to have to manage everything else that goes with having a facility. So having a business that's house call based, I go to my clients, I take as much time with them as we need. I'm usually in their house for an hour to 2 hours. We cover all aspects of care from food to environment to exercise to disease prevention, disease management. Within 24 hours, I send a follow-up email consultation summary covering all aspects of the treatment or examination, and we usually have ongoing dialogue through email from there. So it's very personalized. It's very specific to the pet's needs. It's really a concierge-style veterinary practice, but it really allows me to take the time that I would want to have my healthcare practitioner or my veterinarian spend with me. So I really try to put myself in my client's shoes and make sure I'm listening to them, paying attention to all their needs, and then doing my best to resolve the problems. And if I can't resolve them, then I refer them to specialists. LA has quite a few very good specialty practices. And so I work closely with ophthalmologists and internal medicine specialists and dentists and cancer specialists, and we work collaboratively to try to manage my patients' illnesses.
I love it. I think we'd all love to be able to not only run our business that way, but to be doing business with people in that manner. So it's a big kudos to you for taking that step and doing it.
great. It's hard. It's a lot of work. There's really no. I have to schedule a day, one day off a week, where I don't see patients just for my mental health. but at the same time, there's always something to be done. Especially now that my career in writing and media is growing, there's always like the next deadline that I have to meet. So I'm a very, very busy person.
Yeah, you are. Hey, let's talk about that a little bit before I let you get away, and we will definitely have you back on more often. You are so interesting, so diverse in what you're doing in the pet world. And again, you know, on behalf of everybody that won't get to say it to you, thank you for all that you're doing. Let's hit on this media stuff, though, because you're a rising star. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Let's talk about. And we're excited because you're going to be appearing on some of our upcoming Pet World Insider TV segments as one of our expert insiders. And I can't think of a better person to be doing that because you're on a trajectory uphill, and you must have known that was happening when you found yourself with Teddy Hilton.
Yeah, well, in moving to L.A., obviously, this is like, besides New York, the media capital of the country, and so I felt like, okay, I have to figure out how I can use media to spread my message of pet health care in a positive way, and so I had a neighbor who is a PR guy and suggest that I do some media work a couple years back, so he got me a couple writing projects that I can still continue with, and just kind of growing and growing, and I created a website called Celebrity Pet News.
Yes.
And I wrote a bunch of articles called The Real House Dogs of Beverly Hills, kind of talking about the dogs of the housewives of Beverly Hills on the Bravo TV show. And I pitched the articles to Perez Hilton's media manager, and they paid attention to them, and I asked if I wanted to do some pet care videos and tips and things like that. And now we've created an ongoing relationship where we filmed videos, kind of whatever topics I feel like talking about on a monthly basis, and I answer reader Q&A, and you know, it's been an interesting relationship. I often will like cover events in Los Angeles for Teddy Hilton as well, so I get to go to some pretty cool events on their behalf.
Yeah,
like Genesis Awards, the basically like the Oscars of the Humane Society.
Yeah, wasn't that phenomenal?
It was great.
It's nice to see some recognition and an emphasis put on at least acknowledging what so many wonderful people are doing on behalf of the pet world.
Absolutely.
And I love seeing that. What's been some of your funniest interactions with the celebrities since you've gotten here to L.A.?
As clients?
Yeah.
Well, I can't name any names.
Well, of course.
But I've seen some very high-profile people under some questionable circumstances very late at night. For things like pet toxicities, things that animals maybe ate that they shouldn't have eaten, that may be illegal in certain states.
Right.
So there's been some interesting circumstances like that, or just people that I grew up on the East Coast primarily. I have always had this little fascination with celebrity culture, and then I moved to LA, and I'm treating them as my clients, and so I've had some interesting experiences with some high profile people where you're sitting across the table from them. You're going to their home. So I don't fawn over them in that capacity. I really just appreciate them as individuals and pet owners, not as like high profile media stars.
Yeah. And you know, as the pontographer, I've experienced, because I've been fortunate like you to have clients, many clients in the media and celebrity world. And, you know, the one thing about it is no matter how big a name they are or how, you know, their reputation may be, I've always found when it comes to their pets, they're just normal people. And they're just like any other pet owner most of the time. There are those exceptions, of course. You know, pets are not ornaments, people, but that's
yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
You know, but I mean, really, it's amazing to me. I've had situations where, you know, someone's had a entourage of 10 people, yet they'll leave those 10 to go and, you know, take their dog to, you know, let them have their moment of release, if you will. And they're the ones picking it up. And I'm just laughing going, in 2 seconds, you're going to be back over there, and the, you know, people are going to be applying makeup, fixing your hair, commenting on your outfit. But you took the time, you went and picked up that doggy poop. Good for you. You're still a human being, at least in that capacity. And you know, it's interesting. I mean, you know, we all start from the same, you know, situation. So it's good to know that when it comes to the pets, that they can still find that moment of brevity there.
Yeah.
But so now what's next? You're headed off to Blog Paws, right?
Yes, I can't wait. On Thursday, I'm heading off to Salt Lake City for Blog Paws 2012. This will be the third year I'm going and the first year that I'm speaking. I'm going to be co-presenting with Dr. Janice Ellenboss from Lucky Dog Cuisine, talking about branding and building a brand that really is a reflection of your personal beliefs and values and how to stick to that in the process as you develop it, and how to use media and social media in the development process.
Wow, we've definitely got to have you back when you get back from that, because that sounds like a phenomenal topic. You know, I there's so many things too that that you do. So I know a lot of people will have questions. Let's give out your website address again, because you all your writings, the different things you're involved in, you do touch on such a great variety of topics. We're going to have you on the Pet World Insider TV show as well for some insider segments. So, you know, visit the website. Patrick, what's that website again?
It's patrickmahaney.com.
Folks, he couldn't make it any easier for you. Patrick Mahaney, and that's Mahaney.
That's
PatrickMahaney.com. And, you know, Dr. Patrick, thank you so much. I can't tell you, you know, what a treat it's been. And I'm looking forward to more conversations over time and from learning more and, you know, just helping you spread the word, because I think what you're doing and the way that you're approaching it is so constructive and so positive. And if we can just find a way to continue to get those messages out, at some point, people will have to drink that water.
Drink the grape Kool-Aid, everybody.
Drink the grape Kool-Aid. Dr. Pat, thanks for being with us.
Thank
you
very much.
Robert Semro from Pet World Insider, and this has been a treat and a pleasure. Looking forward to having Patrick back soon. Thank you again, folks,